Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
All right, we've spoken about people who beg on our city streets a number of times on this program. Now, the Salvation Army does a lot to try and help such people, but recently they did a survey of sorts of people who beg on the streets to try and ascertain exactly what they spend their money on. Major Brendan Nottle joins us now from the Salvos. Mr. Nottle, good afternoon, or Major Nottle.
Brendan's fine. Tom, how are you?
Brendan, I'm good. Now, I watched a video of you on, it's an online newspaper called The New Daily, and I read it most days, and it was a very nice video you did. But you were asked this question about the survey. Now, tell us about what you did, the survey of people who beg in the streets.
Yeah, well, Tom, we had a team out interviewing people that were begging on the streets of the city from about the 22nd of December through to about the 28th of February this year.
Okay.
And we come across about 135 people that were begging.
Yeah.
And there are 135 individuals, and there were about 126 of those that were in pretty desperate need for a whole range of reasons. And there were about 9 of the 135 that we identified as professional beggars. So those people that were really aggressive, people that were well organised, and they were working in groups as well.
But just 9 out of 135?
That's right, yeah.
Okay, so leaving the aggressive professional beggars out of it, so the remaining 126, what by and large were they begging for? What do they need the money for?
Well, it was really interesting because when we approached that survey, we actually thought that most of them would be begging for drugs, because I think most of us assume that. We assume the same thing, but it was interesting because of the 126, they were involved in living in special residential services, and most of these SRSs are actually really good. They provide good accommodation, good support, but in some cases, they take about 87% of people's income.
Mm-hmm.
So their income is usually the disability support pension, because most of the people in SRSs are suffering from an intellectual disability or some sort of serious mental health issue. And so most of the people that were begging were from those SRSs and actually were begging for smokes.
You say you contrast begging for drugs, but I mean cigarettes are a drug of sorts, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. But I think in a lot of the cases of the people that we met, they were in pretty desperate circumstances. And just, you're probably describing them as incredibly sad people. So the fact that, you know, they were that desperate for a smoke that they'd beg, and that was probably how they got their joy for the day, was by having a cigarette, sort of indicates how low their life got.
Okay, do you think that people, that passers-by, should give money to help someone down on their luck buy cigarettes, though?
No, I think it's more about a conversation with people. So a lot of these people, they're just unbelievably lonely. So they've got no supports, often no friends, no contact or very limited contact with family. And I think one of the best things we can do, if we feel safe to do it, is to actually just have a conversation with someone, or just to nod and smile.
Mm.
And it's amazing the impact that can have on someone that just feels completely disconnected from everybody else. And I think if somebody's got a sign up saying they're hungry and you've got a few dollars on you, then it's worth just buying a sandwich for someone. If someone says, I'm homeless, it's worth just saying, look, there's services around the city. Can I ring one for you? And even, you know, do you want me to walk with you to that service so you can get some support? Or, you know, if you're okay about smoking, you know, I can't really see the harm of just giving somebody a couple of smokes, and that could be the thing that just makes their day.
Well, yeah, I don't know if you could say you don't see the harm in smoking, because we're sort of told ad nauseam that smoking is very bad for you. Indeed, today there's a report out about how prisoners are threatening to riot again because cigarettes have been banned from prison. I don't really understand why people have such a problem with prisoners smoking, but still, it's an odd one. Look, Major Brendan Noddle, I appreciate your time, but again, I sort of feel like having heard this, me and a lot of people, I'd be less inclined to give someone some cash because if they're going to spend it on cigarettes, it's not the best use of cash, is it?
No, that's true, but I just think for me that research was a really powerful reminder of how low and how sad some people's lives are.
Indeed.
And how just incredibly lonely and disconnected they are. So from my point of view, I'm a non-smoker, I can't stand the things, but I think if a cigarette's going to bring somebody a little bit of joy, then just for that day, then I actually can't see a problem with that.